I opened a message last week entitled "Decision Determines Our Destiny." By faith, I'm going to finish that message today. We'll see how we do. And I think we really need to reread Ruth 1, verses 1 through 18. Ruth 1, verses 1 through 18 is our foundational text. Beginning to read in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, and you have, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home and of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Let's pray again. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over your word to perform it. I pray that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for me to speak this morning. Not a word more and a word or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, very quickly, last week we talked about the first principle that we glean from this passage, and it's the principle of a willing choice. And we talked about the fact that we have a free will, but in exercising that free will, if we are not careful, we can make wrong choices that will alter our destiny, because decisions are what determine our destiny, right? Okay, so I got to move on. We got a long ways to go. The second major point is the problems of a wrong choice. Elimelech made a wrong choice when he decided to go into the land of Moab. Let me explain. The Moabites were enemies of Israel. Moab was a cursed land and a pagan nation. Elimelech made a wrong choice due to three basic reasons. First, he had a wrong motive. He was motivated by physical reasons, not spiritual reasons. He placed the physical above the spiritual. Now, I could preach the rest of our time on this, because this is something, if we are honest, every one of us battles with. Making choices based on the physical instead of on what God is leading. And when we make choices that are based on the physical instead of what God is leading, remember, choices, our choices, they're going to determine our destination, right? So, very important we really ponder this. Matthew 6, verses 32 and 33 says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we're exhorted to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness instead of the things of this world. Because, as we just read, as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then God heaps on us the things that we have need of. Isn't that awesome? But we get it messed up. We get so focused in the physical that we forget about God, and we make choices that are poor choices, and we end up off in the ditch somewhere instead of in the middle of the road that God has for us to live out our lives. See, God has called us to a life of righteousness. He has called us to a life of holiness, right? He said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." That's what His Word says, okay? So, it would be a really bad joke for Him to call us to be holy if He had not equipped us to be able to be holy. So God has equipped us. He has given us everything that we need to make good choices. First of all, He has filled us with His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is He has many attributes, many functions in our life, but one of them is He is our counselor. So if we seek Him first, if we seek the kingdom of God first, and we seek the Holy Spirit that lives within us for wisdom in the decisions that we make, then we will make wise choices that bring God's things into our lives instead of the things of this world. So seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, guys. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Never, says our psalmist. I was young and now I'm old. I kind of feel like that sometimes. I can relate to that better than I could 20 years ago. That's what I'm saying. So, he had a wrong motive. So when we make decisions, when we're in the process of making decisions, what we want to take from this point is, we need to ask ourselves, what's my motivation in this decision that I'm about to make? What is my motivation? That's what we take from that point. Okay? Second point, he had a wrong method. Sometimes our methodology is wrong. Elimelech walked by sight and not by faith. That's the opposite of what God has called us to do. He's called us to walk by faith, not by sight. See, what that's telling us, guys, is this. The world has told us, ever since we were a toddler and had any remembrance of our lives back then, ever since then, we have been told by everybody that's supposed to tell us the truth that seeing is believing. Am I telling the truth? But that's backwards from what God's Word tells us. God's Word tells us that believing is seeing. That's what faith is. Our belief is our sight. So we gotta turn that around. We gotta take what we've been taught and turn it upside down. I've had to do that myself because I was taught the same things as a child growing up. Well, seeing is believing. And you see things and you believe in those things. So you adopt that doctrine. And then God goes, oh, wait a minute. Wait, no, you got it wrong. Believing is seeing. Okay? So, faith is believing God in spite of appearances and obeying God in spite of consequences. I'm going to repeat that. Faith is believing God in spite of appearances and obeying God in spite of consequences. You know, there are times when we make a decision to follow God that God takes us through a valley. Remember, it's in the valleys that we grow. We all love the mountaintops. Those are awesome. A lot of joy, you know, excitement in the mountaintops. But it's in the valleys that we grow. If you go out to the Rocky Mountains, you'll find in the foothills is where you find all the lush green. But it's all rock when you get up higher. Things grow in the valleys. We grow in the valleys of our life. God brings us through things that will cause us to grow. So, why am I telling you this? Because we have a tendency to choose the easy road. What seems easy in the beginning quite often turns hard after we get into it a ways, because we made the wrong choice. And there are consequences. And there are also times when obeying God brings consequences of that. At least we look at them like consequences. Let me give you an example. A boss is pressuring you to do unethical things that completely violate your standards as a believer. So you tell your boss, I can't do that. And your boss fires you. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a job. Consequences for doing the right thing. The good news is God will always provide a way when there is no way. He will provide another job when you take a stand for Him. Am I making sense? In Psalm 55, verse 6, the psalmist describes a desire to run away from problematic circumstances. But God desires to give us the wings of an eagle to mount up over our problems. Again, Psalm 55, actually we'll read verses 6 and 7. It says, I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. Psalm 55, verse 6 and 7. And Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We can't go wrong following God. When we make choices that are based on God's principles, when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will direct our path and we will find in the end that we end in the destination that we had hoped for and believed for. So Elimelech had a wrong method. Third, he had the wrong master. When Elimelech went over into Moab, he went into enemy territory. The Moabites had been enemies of God. Why would you or I want to move into a place where the people were enemies of God? Can you imagine that? I had to stop myself. I almost said something about a certain state in this country, about why I wouldn't move there. I'll leave it at that. Illinois is bad enough. You understand what I'm saying? The Moabites had invaded Israel and had ruled over Israel for 18 years. So it's not like Elimelech didn't know what those people were about. He made a poor choice to haul his wife and his family into that situation. God had placed a curse upon the Moabites. So guess what? They move into that. He disobeys God. Elimelech moves his family into that situation, into that place. They come under that curse. He ends up dying in that place. Both of his sons end up dying in that place. I assert that it didn't need to be that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we live in disbelief and disobedience, we dishonor God and we move into the enemy's territory. When we operate our lives in disbelief and disobedience, we are operating and moving ourselves into the enemy's territory. That's his game. The enemy is always working to derail us from the path that God has for our lives. Do you understand that? He is always doing that. And so we're fighting him, we're fighting against that, but then we're also fighting against self. Self is the one that makes poor decisions or makes good decisions. And God gave us a free will because he loves us. He's called us to righteousness, but he didn't make us puppets, did he? He gave us a free will. We are free to live however we want to. Why would God do that? Let me tell you why. Because when we praise him, if we don't do that out of a free will, then it's really not glorifying to him. When we choose to praise God, when we choose to obey him, that brings glory to God because we have done that out of a free will. Does that make sense to you? If it wasn't out of a free will, it would not glorify God. What? Why would it glorify God if he made us puppets and he created us that we just were going to praise God because he made us that way? That wouldn't glorify him. But out of a free will, there it is. He's glorified. So Elimelech's death, or Elimelech's choice, brought consequences. It brought death. His death, his two sons' death. It brought deprivation. They became deprived of their needs. So the bottom line is, Elimelech made a poor choice because he wanted to be blessed. And he looked in the physical and thought this was the way to go. But he wasn't listening to God. And look what his family went through. Now, thirdly, third major point, let's look at the power of a wise choice. The power of a wise choice. And we see what I'm about to expound on in verses 7 through 18 of our text. Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem. She decided, you know what? I'm going with you. Period. I don't care how many times you try to dissuade me and tell me to go back to my people. But I don't want to go back to my people. I want to go with you. And she ends up saying, listen, lady, the only thing that's going to separate me from you is death. I'm sticking to you like glue. That's ultimately what she was saying, wasn't it? I know she didn't use those terms, but that's what it meant to me. She was adamant. I am going where you're going. I am going there because I am also going to have your God be my God. Ruth had a sensitive spirit. Somewhere along the way through all of this, she picked up on the fact that Naomi had a God that was awesome. and with her heart touched like that in such a way, she began to make wise choices instead of poor choices. Ruth's decision changed the course of her life in a very positive way. Ruth had previously lived life under a curse when they were in Moab. Ephesians 2, verse 12 says this: "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Now, Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, explaining to them what it is to be without God. "I got born again when I was 25 years old. And up to that point, I was in this place that it explains here in the 12th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians. I was separate from Christ, just like it says, because I didn't know him. I was excluded from citizenship because I didn't know him. I was a foreigner to the covenants of the promises. I was without hope and without God in the world." And that is that way with every single one of us, every single person on this earth that has been rejecting Christ. This is where we are at. This is where they are at. It's why we need Christ so badly. God provided a way when there was no way. Man could not be good enough, no matter how hard he tried. I can't be good enough. I'm a pastor and I stand here today and I tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, I'm not going to go out and do a lot of the things I used to do before I was saved. It's not going to happen. The devil's not going to get me in that place again. He's not going to get me to go out and do drugs again. He's not going to get me into alcoholism again. It's not going to happen. I'm so far beyond that. I'm so over that. It's been 40 years. He's not going to get me there. But he can work on me, work on my mind, and he can sure get me to get tweaked and cop an attitude. And that's sin too. Right? Does anybody else ever cop an attitude? Raise your hand, be honest. We're in church. We're in church, yeah. And that's sin too, right? So we're sinners saved by grace. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Ruth had hit the bottom. She had come to know poverty. She had lost her husband and father-in-law. Ruth had a condemned life. Because her husband had died, she had a sentence of death upon her. She had no way to provide for her own needs. You need to understand that culture then. It was a death sentence for a widow unless they were able to get another husband after their husband died. It was a death sentence for them because they had no way to provide for themselves. They didn't have a government to step in that would say, "Well, we'll help you out." They didn't have this form and that form to fill out to get government help. They didn't have that. There was no such thing. So in that sense, it was a death sentence for her. And she came to her senses and said, "Well, can you just see her? Well, Elimelech called us out here, but I'm going home. I'm going back home. I'm going to my God." How many of us in our lives have wandered? And we all have to come to the place where we decide, this is messed up. Made some wrong choices back here. It's time for me to get back on God's path and get right with Him again. It's time for me to rekindle that relationship with my God. Like Ruth, we have a sentence of death upon us because of Adam. The firstborn of the human race died, and in Adam, we all died. It's called original sin. When sin entered the world, death entered the world. Right? So, because Adam died, we all die. The question is, will we die in Christ or will we die without Christ? That is the biggest decision any of us will ever make in our whole life, is the decision about Jesus Christ. Whether to make Him Lord and Savior of our lives. Repent of our sins. Ask His forgiveness. And not just, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. I choose to walk the other way. This is what I used to do. This is who I used to be. But I'm making a choice, Lord. I'm selling out to You. I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to live that way anymore. By the power of Your might, I am not going to go down that road anymore. Power of right choices. You know, I've seen a lot of people over the years since I came to Christ 40 years ago. I've had contact with a lot of people. I spent a lot of years in business, a lot of years in retail. I mean, I have run across a lot of people over the years. And people get discouraged. People tend to some completely give up on God, but there are a lot of people that don't completely give up on God, but become bewildered, I guess. And feel like it's futile to serve God because it's just not working for them. Guys, when we make the decision to follow after Christ, that does not mean that everything in life from that point forward is easy. In some cases, things get harder. You know why? Because we are like salmon, and we are swimming against the stream for the rest of our lives. When we give our lives to Christ and really mean it, we are like salmon swimming our last swim up the stream. We are going against the world. So does that make sense why it's harder? It is harder. Not everything's harder about it. But here's the deal. Here's where I was going with this. When we make a decision to follow Christ, and hard things come into our lives, there are different kinds of things behind that. Naomi and the girls were reaping from a decision that was made by Elimelech. Am I making sense to you? Think about this now. They were reaping from a decision that was made by Elimelech. Okay, let's fast forward. When I got saved, I had been doing a lot of things that were wrong and displeasing to God. I've always been honest about that with you. I did not live life well. I lived life the opposite of what God would have me live for. Okay, and I got saved. You know, for a number of years, I still dealt with a lot of tough things because it was the consequences that kept coming from the life that I lived before I got born again. I have always despised it ever since that. Whenever I hear a preacher telling people, encouraging people, pumping the altar call to get people to come and telling them, give your life to Jesus and everything will be easy. You get an easy button like Staples. Because that's a lie. And when you tell people that and they come in good faith and give their lives to Christ, and all of a sudden their life seems to be falling apart and everything's really hard and maybe in some cases harder than they were before, then those people that believe what the preacher said when he said, everything will be easy for you from this day forward, they become bewildered and say, well, I don't know what he was talking about, but I tried it and it didn't work for me. And they go back into their old lifestyle. I've seen it over and over and over. Am I making sense to you this morning? Yeah. So this preacher don't stand up here to tell you that. There might be some things that are harder when you give your life to Christ, but it's worth it. Because your eternal destination is sealed in Christ. And it's about eternity. It's not about the right now. We tend to want to live in the right now and take the easier path. But it's about eternal life, our eternal destination. And the decisions that we make determine our destination. The decision we make about Christ determines whether we will land at our death, whether we land in hell or we land in heaven. Decision determines our destiny. So the good news in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth. And these verses say, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Let me stop a minute. Wouldn't it be good if we could do that? Our worldly point of view, when we look at people, messes things up pretty bad. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, very, very powerful. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are a brand new creation. You're made new. I think there's quite a few people here that have never been here when I talked about this, so I'm going to bring it up. I have time this morning. I want to explain this whole idea that we see, this truth, in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. About being a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. You see, sweet tea, when it is made the way they make it down south. Yeah. Got somebody from down south in the house today.
All right.
When they make it the way they make it down south, they don't just take iced tea and throw some sugar in it. It's cooked. And when it's made the way it's made down south, it is literally a new creation. It is chemically changed forever. You can't get the sugar out of it no matter what you do. You can't separate the sweetness from the tea. You can't do it. It's a new creation. Well, that'll preach. That'll preach. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you've been put to the fire, if you will. Because see, if you're in Christ, you're going to go through times of fire. You're going to go through the fire because we are purified in the fire. Say, preach it, Pastor Wayne. When we go through the fire, we are being purified. That's why we should not reject God and reject the hard times that He allows us to go through. Because as I said before, when those are valleys, we grow in those valleys. But we also, as we are going through the fire, are being purified. Why am I telling you this? Because that purification is preparing us for eternal life. See, He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Isn't that right? And let's be honest about the church today. Not this one, of course, but the church as a whole. I needed to clarify that. There's too many rotten spots in the church. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and there's too many rotten spots and definitely too many wrinkles. I'm not saying you didn't iron your dresser for sure. In a spiritual sense. When Ruth decided to stay with Naomi and serve the living God, all things became new for her. All things came new. Her destiny changed for much, much better. When we decide, I'm going home, I'm going to give in to Christ, nothing is going to separate me from my Savior. When we make that decision, and we do everything we can to bring along with us anybody that will come along. Come along. I exhort you today with that. Come along. Come along with Jesus. He paid it all. We sing it. We talk about it, but do we really believe it down in our hearts? Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it. Adam made a poor decision that has affected every human being since him. Adam and Eve. It's affected all of humanity, every person ever since them in the garden because of original sin. Adam and Eve were created to never die. Do you realize they would have lived forever, forever in their physical bodies if sin had not entered the earth? A lot of people don't realize that. They took of the fruit, remembered what God said, don't take of that fruit, for when you do, you will surely die. Well, a serpent comes along, which was Satan, and says, you'll surely not die. Violated God completely. So they took of the fruit. Took a bite. Wow, he was right, I'm still here. Huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? They didn't realize that death really did begin right there. And we're still dealing with death today because of the sin that is in the world. It's why Jesus Christ had to come. Because He restored, He opened the way back to the tree of life. He did away with the flaming swords that kept everyone away from the tree of life. And he opened the way back up to the tree of life, like eternal. There was a new direction in Naomi's life and in Ruth's life, a new determination, a new dependence, a new desire, a new devotion, and a new destiny. Verse 16 says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me.'" When we choose Christ, we too then have a new destiny. When we choose Christ. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, absolutely nothing, guys, can separate us from the love of Christ. And it just don't get any better than that. When there was no way for us to be saved, Christ provided a way. And he did it according to the word, while we were yet sinners. It says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He died in our place to wash away our sins if we would just accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. In other words, admit to him, "I'm a sinner," which means I've fallen short of the glory of God. Which also means then I need a Savior, because I can't save myself. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. So then we repent of our sins, which means we turn from them, tell God, "I'm so sorry, be broken. I remember when I first got saved, I spent so much time crying, I felt like my eyes would swell shut. I had a lot of repenting to do." Do you understand what I'm saying? That's just the truth of it. But then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I also had times where I was laughing hilariously. I think my wife thought I was nuts for a while, didn't you? She did. She might still think I'm a little nuts. I don't know. But we're new creation in Christ. No longer got to do everything in our own strength. You know, before Christ, we did everything in our own strength. That didn't end up very good, did it? At least it didn't for me. Did it end up well for you?
No.
I don't think so. But in Christ, we're a new creation. In conclusion, Ruth's decision to go back to Bethlehem and follow the Lord God changed her life. God made all things new for Ruth, and she became an ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. She's Jesus' ancestor. How amazing is that? A woman that was living in Moab. Enemies of Israel. And God takes it and he restores her life and orchestrates the fact that in her downline, the Savior of the world is born. Amazing. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ, he makes all things new for us, and that's the truth. He does. It's not all going to be easy, but it's all worth it. I want to share with you about baking a cake. I know very little about it, so it won't take me long. Oh, I could take a box and bake one, but making one from scratch, yeah, good luck. I suppose I could follow a recipe. But my point is this. We have things in our life that don't taste good, even after we're saved. But in Romans 8:28, God says that he works all things for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. He works all things. Okay? Well, if we can equate that to baking a cake, let's think about that for a minute. You take all the ingredients that are in a cake. How many of you, now, I know Larry Witt, man, he's on board with me because I know he's a cake monster. Just don't get between him and a cupcake. You'll get hurt. Okay? He loves it. So what my point is this. Cake tastes wonderful once everything is in it and it's mixed up and baked. But take yourself a spoon of flour one time. Take yourself a half a teaspoon of pure salt. Take yourself a spoon of baking soda. It's not good, is it? But see, after the baker puts all the right ingredients in there and mixes them all up and bakes them properly, it's wonderful. Well, our God is the master baker in our lives. And he knows the things that aren't palatable to us at the time that we need. So that the finished product brings him all the glory. And it's palatable to him. Does that make sense? All right, we're about out of time. I want to ask a question. Is there anyone here today and you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have never told him, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner. That means I need a Savior and you're that Savior. If there is anyone today, I would invite you to just walk up here. I'll meet you down here and I'll just agree in prayer with you. Not going to do anything weird. Not going to sign you up for something you don't want to be part of. Not going to sign you up for some club. But what will happen when you get born again is you will be a child of God that is a born again part of God's kingdom. Is there anyone this morning before I pray? Last call. All right, let's all stand together, please. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, your wonderful, wonderful master plan. Lord, we pray that you forgive us for some of the choices that we make when we get in a hurry and we don't seek first your kingdom and you. We just pray, Lord, as we leave this place today, that what we have heard from your word today would resonate in our hearts throughout the week, and that you'll bring us back here next Sunday to hear your word again, to meet with you, Lord God, for your glory and for our growth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.